Blog Talk Radio.
Out of respect for man's creator, this is a message of concern. Stop and think about what I have to say. Hear me out, no, don't turn and walk away. What I ask seems kind of bold. Well, it's a question that should run deep down in your soul.
What would happen if people were sitting in churches? The world.
What would happen with the image of an African American man as savior of the world before them?
What would happen?
It's a message of concern. Will this live to the mind of the world today? What would this do to their mind? What would this do to the mind of the world children? It's a message of concern.
What would happen to the world children put under a figure of a particular race? Presented pitiable and in pain, the savior of all men.
Out of respect for man's creator, this is a message of concern.
What would happen if people would sit in churches throughout the world for centuries?
What would happen
with the image of an African-American man as savior of the world before them?
Tell me what would happen.
Alhamdulillah. Rabbi Lailameen. Oza Bilai Minishaitan Irajim. Different letter, Rakman Irahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbi Lailameen. Rakman Irahim, Manika Yomedin. Yakana Aburu, Yakana Sain. If it is Saroto Mustakin. Saroto Levin and Umtal, Lehim. I will make do the Alehim. Walidu Alin, I mean. The witness that there is no God but Allah, the creator of the heavens and earth and all in between. And I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad is the seal of the Prophet, and the peace and blessings will ever be upon him. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the Blog Talk Radio Show. Today is Sunday, May the 22nd, 2022. And it is supposedly the sister's night. It is the sister's night and the brother night, if you want it to be, because we're going to both be talking about just about one and the same, the message of concern. The number one message of concern is the removal of all images, including racial images, from worship that portray divine. And the second focus is the psychological effect that the image has on the minds of the world's children. And we know that today that we have to pay more attention to our children and make sure they're told the truth about their history, about their lives at the present, and about current events. We really didn't want to start off that way. This way, but I will, because there's something I really wanted to bring up right now. But I'm going to say that we have a staff here. We have a staff of Brother Abdullah Akbar and Sister Daya Haman Shabazz Akbar from Atlanta. We have Sister Quran and Brother Sujah Muhammad from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. We have Brother A. Muhammad from Columbus, Georgia. And we also have an Imam, Ibrahim Abdullah, from Atlanta, Georgia. So we have these staff members, but we're also looking for presenters. So just know that at any time that you're on this Blog Talk Radio Show, and you feel you have something to say, as long as we keep it respectful, please push one on your receiver and you'll be brought into the queue to voice your say, whatever it is you have to say. It seems like now, focusing on the children right now, this is one of the second most serious viruses that has come out, and already thousands of people have lost their lives behind the injection, as well as we have a few children who lost their lives behind the injection. And it is now out that children 5 years old and up to 11 will get the Pfizer shot. So we trust in our Creator to for our safety, because we know He's in charge and in full control at all times. So we still have to take precautionary measures. I've heard someone speak the other day about, well, we are no longer in the pandemic. We no longer have to wear these masks and these gloves and be social distanced. But that's not true. It's back again. You know, it's back. Cautionary measures. You know, and listen, those are just common things right there. Like if you would have a common cold, you know, you don't be all up on people. You know, you just keep a distance. And they call it a social distance. It's 6 feet. You know, but just keep that social distance. You know, a lot of people, they're not, maybe not aware of it or used to it or think it's okay, they get very close upon you, you know, close to your face when they're speaking to you. But that's not the right thing to do, you know, in during this pandemic, or any time really, but during the pandemic. And I hope I'm not speaking harsh to the listeners. You know, I'm just speaking the truth, speaking the facts, saying it as polite and truthful as I can. And if I am not saying it that way, just know that it's not intentional that I want to speak harsh to any of the listeners. I give you the same respect because I respect, you know, that respect. I don't intend to hurt anyone. Me to know that if someone feels that I am hurting or speaking harsh to anyone, because those are definitely not my intentions. But anyway, I know we all have our opinions, and everybody's opinion should be respected whether you agree with it or not. So I pray Allah that we can keep it in perspective. Just keep it in perspective. Okay. I want to do as I usually do, and that is to read part of the message of concern, which I usually do. I know we're talking mainly today, the focus is on number two, which is the psychological effect of the image that the image has on the minds of the world's children. But in addition to that, we want to reiterate something about the message of concern, which is this graven image that Brother Henry speaks about in his book. And each time on Tuesdays and Sunday nights when the sisters are on, we try to give a little bit of time to that, because we're all in this together, whether it's sisters' night or brothers' night. Okay, and this book, Brother Henry's book, is What Every Parent Should Know About the Worship of Human Imagery in Religion and Their Child's Mental Health. And we're coming, this is 126 pages with 26 chapters. We're coming from the back of the book, speaking on the graven image, coming from the Holy Bible, King James Version. And these two particular chapters I have just emphasized on most of the time, because it seems like their wording is word for word and the same, even though it's two different chapters with two different verses, okay? But it would be good to pay attention to this reading, and so that you can, you know, either agree with me or disagree with me, or if you have something to say about them, you can expound yourself, you know, on it and feel free to. Okay. The following verses are from King James Version of the Bible. Exodus chapter 20, verse 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Now that's Exodus. I want to just, it's a short verse. I want to read it over. Exodus chapter 20, verse 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. We have another chapter over here, which is Exodus. Exodus 5, verse 8. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. One more time. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 8. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. And I emphasize these two because of their wording. You know, the wording is the same. And it brought to my mind, it comes to my mind, well, if the wording is the same in two chapters, in two different chapters, you know, with two different verses, but then it must be some emphasis put on it, because it's saying the two verses, it says the same thing. So it must be significant and it must be important. Thou shalt have no graven image of God, you know, who represents God or the creator of the heavens and the earth and all in between, creator of all systems of knowledge, known and unknown, seen and unseen. Only one Allah. And that's what I like to emphasize from these two. And maybe you can gather the same impression or from that as I did, or if you didn't, if it's different, then please push one on your phone receiver and you'll be brought into the cube and you can voice your difference. Voice differences that you have about it. You know? Okay. Now, I want to read something from this book also that speaks of children and the how they've been how this particular chapter emphasizes how the children haven't been told the truth a lot of times about the complexion of their skin and the difference in complexion of their skin. And number one, they've been told that their skin color is a curse, okay? And that's not true. And in this book, Brother Henry emphasizes that. And I want to just expound on that. This is about the children. And it says, it's chapter 12 in Brother Henry's book, and I just gave you the title of it, Your Skin Color is Not a Curse. And we have a complimentary picture here from the Library of Congress, which we have on every chapter. We have a photo. It's courtesy Library of Congress. Okay, but this one is Your Skin Color is Not a Curse. Okay, it has a little female color sitting in a threshold, and you can tell it's my favorite because I read it all the time because it's short and it brings out what we're trying to say and like put emphasis in plain and simple wording of what we're trying to say. The children should be told the truth and that's the truth. Okay. Now, we'll read. When we read the Holy Quran, we see where God Almighty says he created the human being in the very best form. As we study the nature of human skin, we learn that our Creator designed our skin and our skin color to function as a protector for us and not as a curse against us. The physical sunlight has within it harmful ultraviolet rays, which can burn and destroy healthy skin cells, causing deadly skin cancers to develop. Within the skin of every human being is a substance called melanin. Melanin is, and it's spelled M-E-L-A-N-I-N, melanin, responsible for creating the differences in skin color that we see in human beings. Now, the fact of the matter is that there is just as much melanin in people with lighter skin as there is in people with darker skin. It's just that the melanin is more active in the darker skinned person than it is in the lighter skinned person. When harmful ultraviolet rays attack the skin, melanin rises to the surface of the skin and acts as a shield or umbrella, warding off much of the deadly cancer-causing ultraviolet rays. So the truth is that the darkness in a dark-skinned person's skin is a wonderful protection designed by God and not a punishing curse from God. So the question becomes, who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the lying, sick-minded racist who told you that the darkness of the African-American person's skin is a punishing curse? Are you going to believe God, who created the darkness of the African-American person's skin to act as a blessed protection against the deadly cancer-causing ultraviolet rays of the sun? Melanin sounds like a blessing from God to me and not a punishing curse. Alhamdulillah. So I read that part to you of the book. And something to pay attention to. We see a hand here. We're going to bring it on by turning on the mic. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome.
Wa alaikum assalam. Wa alaikum assalam.
How you doing, Brother Muhammad?
Oh, yeah, very good, sister. And the brothers and sisters there with you. May Allah's peace and blessings upon all of y'all for the good work that you and inshallah we are doing. You know, and we thank Allah that we are getting more focused on gearing more toward the children and help them not to be confused or about anything other than that there's only one God and that Muhammad is his messenger. That, you know, that we all are all human beings, so all the lies and things that this world is going to confront them with, you know, if they, inshallah, if we do a good job at home and letting them know that they only have to answer to their creator and they only have to answer to people who are serving the creator and anyone who is trying to influence them or guide them away from what is clear in the books of Allah, the prophets and messengers of Allah, and those who he have raised from amongst us to keep pardon to all of them. So when we see other human beings go another way and everything like that, that's an opportunity time for us to teach them about them, not about us. Because I know when you, some of you reflect on it, now I'm 76 years old. My mother was telling me about this racism and how they felt about us and how they blamed our skin color, how they blamed our hair, our noses, the way we walk, and you know, anything that can keep us in a vicious cycle of having doubt of what was clear when we looked in the mirror or we looked at people who did not look for a reason to dislike us. They would tell us how beautiful we are, they are. You know, and so what am I saying? I'm saying that this scheme of the shaitan to make us continue to talk in a past tense way of what he done to the human family, because all the way back in the days of, I guess, wow, ain't no telling when they started racism, you know. But we do know it's 3,000 or 4,000 years old, and we know that parents before us also had to warn and educate their children not to be provoked inside, be provoked outside in their psyche behind people who will give any excuse, distract the income, even say you look like a monkey. Then they want to tell you sometimes you look like an alligator. We know how what we call it when we got it, we call it signifying. You be called everything, and your human creation will be torn all apart, talking about your eye, your ear, your one foot. I mean, we do some serious signifying that we learned from the shaitan on how to ourselves look for racism in each other, what they had labeled in our education from the people of the shaitan, how to look for the ugly parts in us and other people. And I mean, there was never any agreement on the beauty that we had until Allah made it possible, at least in our time anyway. We know during the history of the creation, there's been people like Bilal, you know, Samson, you know, in their fictitious story, but when they get down to the real education of it, Master Muslim, and it gave white heroes, using that terminology, gave Chinese heroes, it gave Japanese heroes, because even amongst their own societies and races, racial people, there's always discrimination based upon racism, you know, based upon someone's skin color, you know. So this, as we know it, it has to be told. I think most of us remember when we were young, our mothers and our fathers, if we had one, or either our mother, you know, this was taught to us very seriously in private at home, because they knew we was going to have to deal with people who disliked us, and they used anything as an excuse why, starting with our skin, our eyeballs, our hair, how we walk, etc. So if we take a clear hint of what we're really supposed to be doing, and that is getting our husbands and our wives and our brothers and sisters them back in the house. We call it community now. Get them back in their own community of people so that we can educate them of the people out there who are akin to them by nature, but are under the influence of the Satan, so that they will be prepared in a very educational setting, disciplined setting. We call it right now. We want Sister Claire Muhammad School. All we really are saying is being honest with them. We want to be somewhere to show our children not only the finer parts of our creation, that all people are created the same way. And it is the devil, it is Satan, who messes up the intellect for the false value of this world and other schemes that he used to make other human beings go along with these programs, and these differences. It's always what we all say. Everyone says education, regardless of what their nationality is. We need to educate our children at home and private with a seriousness of letting them know, here's what created you. Allah created you, so don't let nobody else tell you what you is and what you ain't. And Allah has told us in the books that he has sent down to the human family, and in the final book of Al-Islam, where Allah made it clear that all of you are the color, otherwise there's no color to you, because it's not based upon it. It's based upon your obedience. Your how well your intellect will obey your heart. You know, that's how we're going to get rid of the real racism, you know. And we start racing to what is all good and quit racing and trying to explain to people all that is bad when they already know. So that's why we have to be a model. See, a model is something that is taken out of what is so contrasting, psychedelic and everything, to give whatever is inside of that turmoil, that illusion, they have a model to help them come out of it. We had models. Allah, with his mercy, even showed us how Ibrahim came out of the fire, how Musa walked through this parted sea. Now it's our turn here in the year of clarity, to show the Caucasian man, the yellow man, and all those different names they call him, the monkey man, all the different names they call it, the cracker man, the hillbilly man. We have the opportunity. Those of us who have been blessed by Almighty God, Allah, the Lord and Creator of all the world. So it ain't like we discriminating or like we're trying to do something like we special. Allah is in every world. Every reality, and everybody is treated equal and have the opportunity to serve him if they want to. But we know his history, and as the future tell us, remember the future said there will be all kind of people with all those different looks, all those different skin colors, all those funny fingers or whatever excuse they used to use back in the days of the shaitan. We will all be going through to the same place called heaven or paradise, those of us who believe. Again, Allah said, in your future is where you are, and you're going to see what you're talking about in your past. It don't exist in the future. So why waste your time so much on the past? When I told you in many languages, many scholarly quotes, it's only used for research and a reminder, you know, so that you can tell people, and most of all, with your own self first, that this doesn't exist in the future. And that could be tomorrow or 1 minute from now or whatever. Whenever you make up your mind to tell your children and exemplify to your children through deeds and actions of providing them the best home of love, justice, peace, and at the same time let them see from the protection of their fathers or the protection of their community, and look out at the world of the people who are going crazy because they believe that stuff, and show them how the best that we could do for them is to be ourselves, because we're nothing special. That's why Allah has blessed us to see that even though they call y'all black and all this stuff and try to put y'all in one group, you see that even amongst yourselves you are different in color, eyeballs, hair texture. The main thing is to quit letting Shaitan, especially those of you who are outside of the queue, where you are the one who is being duped and hoodwinked into thinking that that stuff is true, when we, the Muslim, the believing Muslim, and you'll find out that might be any one of you, just like it could be any one of us, because color, hair, built, don't have nothing to do with it. It's all about how much you're going to obey the knowledge and the nature that you see God has put in you like he has put in the animals. All you got to do is live the human nature. And you'll be all right, and you'll walk right out of this crazy, multi-knowledge insanity and be free to think freely about how you want to better your relationship with your creator, how you want to ask your creator to give you the best of this world and the next. And then that, most of all, how are we going to share this with our children? And we all know that sometimes, we've seen even in history, that if you raise your child right, you'll see sometimes the next door neighbor's kid be learning too. And the little kid across the street be learning too. And then their parents be learning. If we tend to our business of being an example of the human being that worships and serves Almighty God Allah and alone, anyone who wants to learn what they are, who they are, what to do, they can learn just by looking at us or talking to us. And then they also get to see that we're not perfect. But what makes us free is that we're not standing still listening to the Shaitan. We're not sitting down and listening, letting Shaitan just put his tongue all in our ear and give us all kind of images and ideas about this and that. We're on the move. We're on the move to the Word of God, where everything is always pure and clear. And he can't catch it with us. So Satan talks to the one who is lagging behind because you have let yourself become a part of this world, of this value system that Shaitan has been telling the human family for years. See, remember, in our time right now, we're under the influence of history. That's why the future is so important to us and our children. This is thousands of years of rumors, lies, influences of the Satan, ever since he came down here with us. That's how much knowledge is in behind us that's trying to make us turn around. But just think about this. When you're looking forward, you don't hear none of it. We have to teach our children in all the worlds that they are functioning in, material, emotional, spiritual, all the different parts of their body, bones, hair, eyeballs, blood, etc., has nothing to do with the history of those who listen to the Satan. We see that on the other side of that, we see all the people who turned their mind, heart, bodies, and soul, their diet, their washing habits, everything. Turn it over to Almighty God along. Things got better. You know, their skin looked better. Their sores went away. Their anger went away. Their stress went away. It's so much better to look into the light of the Quran, in the light of the life of Prophet Muhammad, and really go on and be this model for ourselves first and our children next. But remember, you can love your children until the day they disappear from you. See, because you might wind up getting divorced. You might wind up hating your wife or hating your husband. But see, your children, that's what Allah said, when you save your own soul first, then you save your loved ones. He's talking about your children. You're going to love them until the day you die. And in most cases, unless they become victims of the shaitan and join him in his destiny to the hellfire, there is nothing, nothing, nothing can make you stop loving them. We need to quit to a certain degree, spend more time on our children and Al-Islam and what it takes to have that type of environment to raise our children so that our environment will never turn against them. Don't you know every human being on this earth, the environment they have created for themselves listening to the shaitan attacks them every day. That's why Allah said your environment will make you other than my servant. But if we establish Al-Islam, submission to the will of God in our reality every day, 24 seconds, as long as our Allah blesses our human ability to do so, and our children are raised in that type of environment, they will never have to worry about their environment, making them other than Allah's servant. Ain't that nice? To know that if we be the model to our children and show them how to pray and worship and serve God and humanity who wants to be and receive the help of Almighty God through a fellow human being, and they see that this is the best world, no doubt about it. Allah said the best world is out of Islam. Think about what we're doing. When we continue to research and look for other ways of life that might give you something better in one area, but it can't replace Al-Islam. We must be grateful, like Allah said. And it's a small favor, because remember all the ways of life out here, now we see why Allah said, verily the human being is ungrateful to the little small favor with the small light that I've given them, the small way of living and serving me, very small, compared to all that craziness out there. And then you had a nerd want to compare it to what you know is wrong, instead of increasing it and developing it and establishing it, you know, so that our children will be saved too. See, remember, our children can only fall victim and listen to the shaitan if they are ignorant of Almighty God Allah. Allow love for your brothers and love. Look how we have forgotten the one of the basic things that every human being on this earth who said La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, the first thing they learn amongst the many first educational things that Allah, when he teaches us, is you have to love for your human being like you love for yourself. And we talk it every day, sometime all day long, and never put one deed or action to establishing that. We still are the number one perpetrators of segregation against ourselves. We are the number one perpetrator of hating each other. We are the number one, all the things, teaching other people what they knew and inviting them to. We're not even doing it ourselves enough to produce children who are satisfied with their Creator. Look, satisfied with your Creator, with their Creator, with the Creator. There ain't no more, ain't no other reality. You know, we have to understand that we really have been what they call saved. Because those who accept salvation automatically know they'll be in the next world. All thing they have to do is continue to maintain the guidance that Allah gives them in the Quran, the life example of Prophet Muhammad, and those amongst ourselves who diligently model to each other. Now, we don't need nothing else. In closing, what in the reality of the human family could be better to have is your loved one, your partner, your brother, your sister, whatever it might be, than that of a believing Muslim? You really think that a believing Christian, Jew, Hindu is better than having a believing Muslim? When Allah tells you, believe in those who you have to say, you have to believe in those who know there ain't but one God, and Muhammad is his messenger. Or else you treat them according to belief. Everybody else, you treat them according to their belief, and you treat them at the highest level of what they believe in. So that they will see clearly that if they are as human as you are, and they know where they're at, then, because we can't force them, ain't going to force them, because it's so simple. Even in all the truth that they ever run into, everybody knows that we all come from one God. We all are one in the universe. We all come from one soul. We all eat the same food. We all drink the same type of water. We try to eat the best water with the best water that's pH balanced and everything. No, everything is one. We call it halal. When we bring the world back to halal, in food, shelter, clothing, intelligence, emotion, moral character, and remembrance of the Creator. Allah said there's nothing no more better than remembering him and all that you do.
Yes.
Don't remember what Satan done. He ain't done a daggone thing. You know, Allah said, I created him. Ain't I promised y'all that I'm going to send him to hell? Why would you waste time with someone you know is going the opposite of where you're going? Why are you trying to save them? There's nothing you can save them. They are going to hell, those human beings who have the same ability, intellectual, emotional, strength. Allah said, I made you equal. The only difference between you is what you do with your free will. Let them go, because our children are the ones who are suffering from this. Our women are the ones who are suffering from this. Our men, our brothers, our uncles have suffered. Let Allah do his thing. He done told us everything is in duality. Let them be their part, and we be our part. And inshallah, may Allah have mercy upon all of us. Thank you very much.
Amen.
As-salamu alaykum.
Amen. Alaykum as-salam. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you very much, Brother Muhammad. And we appreciate those words of wisdom. We have next. Okay, let me just throw this in right here. Okay, we have someone else. Assalamu alaikum. Are you unmuted? 323, the area code. 3149, last four numbers. Are you unmuted?
Yeah,
assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum assalam. Rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How you doing, Sister Quran?
I'm doing fine, alhamdulillah. I'm doing fine. I didn't hear it say, usually I hear it say unmute, so that's why I thought you was probably talking to somebody else. Alhamdulillah.
Oh, the machine automatically says unmute by itself, too, once I press the button and put it on the mic. It says unmute by itself.
Oh, yes.
And I'll say don't speak. Uh-huh.
Alhamdulillah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. What I want to say, first I want to say I will listen to Brother Muhammad, and I agree with what he was saying. But one thing I just said, I wanted to question, you know, I mean, just came to my mind when he was saying about how African-American is the number one, basically he was saying the number one, you know, like killer of each other, you know. I mean, they do harm to each other. And then I said, mm-hmm. You know, I have to question that. I said, because, and then you could correct me too, because I said to myself, I don't know no African-American got together and just automatically just shoot down other African-Americans because their skin was lighter than the other ones, or because they just did a whole bunch of them just because they didn't like that group of African-Americans. You know, I haven't heard of that yet. There are those some things mm-hmm. I haven't heard. And so that's why I say mm-hmm. I don't think we the number one, but I know we do harm to each other, too. That's one thing mm-hmm. I want to say. And then I want to elaborate on what I want to say is that I was looking at YouTube because, you know, that's one of the things that do a lot of advertising. And so I was listening to YouTube, mm-hmm. and this is the first time in my life that I saw where they were talking about black Ethiopian Jews. They were talking about they was asking about black Jews. And I said, and I know that they're out there because I remember Sammy Davis Jr. I remember he was a Jew, and then they were telling him he can't be no Jew, you know. So, but I didn't know too much about Jews during that time, because during that time I was a Christian, but I was aware of what was going on, you know, dealing with that. Mm-hmm. And so I said to myself, mm-hmm. I said, but and then here it is, they had a movie about Ethiopian Jews where they was, the thing about it is they were showing where they was, these here Caucasian Jews was rescuing them from whatever some other Caucasian that was doing them harm, you know, like that. And I said, wow. I said to myself, now what trick is they up to now? It's been almost mm-hmm. 100 years and they never said anything about black Jews.
I never heard of
that. You never heard what?
Black Jews.
Oh yeah, they have in Ethiopian Jews. They're black Jews, you know. And then so And that's one thing I want to say. And then another thing I want to say is that, like, when people saying that, this is what I want to say. How is it that, and I think I said it before, how is it that our skin color or texture is a curse when it's the original? How could that be? I mean, that don't make no sense. And so that question should be asked to them and say, how is it a curse when we are the original people?
The question.
That's what I'm trying to figure out. That was the original skin color that Allah made first, put here on earth. Alhamdulillah. So that's a question that should be asked when they say something about that it's a curse. So it's another lie that they put out there, alhamdulillah, that we need to teach our children. You know?
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But alhamdulillah. Well, basically, that's what I had wanted to elaborate on. Alhamdulillah. As-salamu alaykum.
Okay. Well, we thank you for your input and those very true words that you're speaking. And I've never heard of an Ethiopian black Jew. I've never heard of, never seen one, didn't even know it existed. I really didn't. My first time hearing of it. And I do recall now them saying that Sammy Davis Jr. and who was that? Was it Sam Cooke too? Somebody? Was it Black Jew? that was buried in their Cadillac car or something like that. Yeah, I think it was two African-Americans, so-called African-Americans that I have heard of being black Jews. Sammy Davis Jr. Is one, or was one of them. And yeah, I remember I do hear you when you say that there was a time where you heard that Jews cannot, I mean, that anybody cannot become a part of the Jews because they have to be, let me see, how was that? If you weren't born a Jew.
Right. That's
you,
it.
You know, if you were not born a Jew, then you would have to be, go through something in order to become, you know, a part of Jews, because then they didn't accept everybody. It seemed like in the Jewish, what should I call them? In the Jewish, I would say race, because the Hebrew is the
community,
religion.
Community. The they're not Jewish, is not a race. They're not a race.
Uh-huh.
A race, they only got
right.
Four races. They only got four races here on earth. And the rest of them are,
yeah.
Are they're not because remember we got the races are you got the dark race, we got the one that goes under the Indians. What you got to know is that the Indians, Pakistanians and all them, they fall under with the Indians. Okay, and
right.
Then we have the dark race of the Indian, and then we have the Caucasian race, and then we have the race dealing with the Chinese and the Japanese. They are the same people. They are the same
mm-hmm.
people. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
they're the same people. So those are basically the four races right there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The Jewish is more like a religion. It's like a belief.
The Hebrew was the belief, and that the Jews
mm-hmm.
were those who believed in Hebrew.
Well, all of
that,
that these Jews, because you know they got all kind of they have different more than they have a lot of whole beliefs. You know they have the Jewish, they have the,
yeah.
the like you said the Hindus and all them. You know those are like religious and beliefs, but the races,
mm-hmm.
but they don't fall under. There's only four races. If you have to go, if you have to fall, if they say, okay, let's fall on a race, then all of them will fall. That's the race that they will fall on. They will fall under the dark, the dark race, the African, and then the Caucasian, and then we have the like the Indians, you know, and like you said, the Pakistanis, and also the Chinese, and you know, and the Japanese. Those are basically the four different races right there.
Mm. Okay. All right.
Alhamdulillah.
Thank you for sharing that.
And during the one time, you got to remember, during the time of Moses, the Jews were dark. They were dark. They only, you know, the Jewish were dark, and they just became... I guess they integrated, but they became they were dark during that time of
home. Put your hand back in. Huh?
What'd you say?
No, I was my hand is hand up, then took it back down, and I was just asking him if he wanted to speak because you'll let me know. Okay, thank you. Okay, then. Okay. Yes. Thanks for sharing this, Sister Karan. I appreciate that. Then no.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else want to contribute to the conversation? Please just push one in the queue. Push one on your cell phone. I will bring you into the queue. sure will. Okay, I wish I could get someone on the Blog Talk Radio show that could expound on those things, because those that kind of information which you stated, Sister Ryan, children should know about. I mean, those are just little simple things that children, I mean, easy things for children to remember. Okay, we do have someone who wants to come back in. We got to see what we can do about that. Get some more information on that one, because that's like history. Ethiopian Jews, black Jews, and explain to them that the children, how people are not considered, especially the people with darker skin, are not considered to be born Jews, but they have to go through a procedure, or I would call it, and when you're in the college and the fraternity, initiation. You have to go through, look like an initiation or something to become a Jew. Isn't that something? Jewish religion, Jewish race, or Hebrew religion, or Hebrew race. Okay, let's bring in Assalamualaikum, Brother Akbar. You want to unmute your phone? You have your hand up and you're in the queue. Your mic is on. Alaykum as-salam. Rahmatullah wa barakatuh. You hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Oh, okay. Go right ahead. Welcome.
Humalay Shaitan Rajim, Bismillah Rahman Rahim. Ashadu ilah ilah illallah. Ashadu ilah ilah Muhammad Rasulullah. We only bear witness and testify there is no God but one God. Proper name is Allah. He is the creator of this planet Earth that we are planted on. He put us here to be tested. We are all passing through. And we thank Allah for blessing us with the last and understanding of the last and the greatest, the last, no other than Prophet Muhammad Ibn Abdullah, who is the seal of the Prophet. So we're here tonight with the help of Allah. Thank you for thinking about the children, the psychological effect of what's going on in the world without children. And that psychological effect is seen every day throughout every newscast. Our children are being led astray, led away from Allah. Through lies, weak ideas, and wrong thinking. And in order for us to save our children, or save the world children, there's work got to be done in society. If there's no work, and God says he's going to judge about work, if there's no work done, then how are we going to get this job done? Because the work has been done and have been done on us through the lies, through fear tactics, through miseducation, and all the other things, like that young man that killed them 10 people, wounded 30, wounded another 3 that's in the hospital. This man, his common sense was taken to it from him. He was told that black people were going to take over. You know, like some monster, some going to be raised up to take over. And like they want monsters themselves. Caucasians can't see themselves as being monsters as long as we allow and still call them white people. Because this takes away from the ugliness that they produce. You call them white, you take it away from the ugliness that they live by. They live by it. Some of them just can't think without want to hurt something, hurt us, and we did nothing to them. We haven't did anything to them. They called us what they are. They called us terrorists, and when you look at and examine who they are the real terrorists because they have swallowed up all the lies. And they are teaching their children them lies. Racism is something that you practice and teach in the home. It's like homosexuality. All that fear come from the home life, one way or the other. And is there not enough truth out there in the world that will correct these lies, then there are more lies to come. Because although we know Prophet Muhammad and Abdullah, but if we ask 1,000 people, in our neighborhood, if they heard of Prophet Muhammad, I guarantee you, the majority of them said, no, I never heard of him. And they, if they have heard of him, the people that were telling them about Prophet Muhammad really probably lied on them. So they themselves didn't know nothing about the prophet. And this has been Satan's greatest move. He'll kept this. People away from out of the ears and out of the heart coming to them about Prophet Muhammad. And they put an artificial prophet, which is a prophet, but they all the artificial things that you can add to any people or any person, and all the artificial, I mean all the lies that you add to this person. It makes Prophet Muhammad look like he was a real evil person. And that's the job of Satan. Satan on this job. And some people don't want to admit, don't want to talk about it. Like Satan is going to go away because they don't talk about it. No, you bring Satan out in the open and you expose him to light and truth, and he will disappear. It's like in the movie when Dracula see the sun hit him, that light hit him, he started to deteriorate, he started to go back, vanish. And that's what we got to keep this truth out and the light on Satan. And the one who worked with Satan, helped Satan, and keep Satan around. And then you say, and you can see he's around. What kind of people would deny your child an education? Then teach your child something that's unnatural. Make your child think it's ugly. He's ugly. Then tell your child he's black. I went to school, and I was in school. The classes that I was set up in the classroom in the elementary school, especially Nathan Mifari, they put all the African Americans, the dark skin ones, always in the back. And in between, they put the medium and the light skin, and the light skin people were lighter than Caucasian, but they were not called white. See the trick in that? Oh, you got a white beard, but you ain't white. You ain't nothing. You black. See, there ain't no more lies. That's why Imam Walid Muhammad said, we got to change the language. We got to stop calling people by color and by name. They haven't earned. They don't have. And to say somebody white is to put them way above you. And to say you black, and when I look in this new dictionary, the Oxford Dictionary, it said the word black means absent life, means absent of knowledge. And Webster's dictionary said about the same. you've been blackmailed. Now, this is what Alpha said. But although it's pouring, all the evil stuff is pouring to our skin color that we don't have, that we accept. Because we accept the trick because it's popular, but it's, when you analyze it, it don't even need to be analyzed. It's what God did not order. It's an evil behind that. So calling people, we are human beings. This is what God said he made. And he tells us the greatest human being he made is the one who submits his will to do his will. So if anybody is not submitting their will to do the will of the Creator, then they don't care what color they are not in favor. They are not in the God's welcoming in the next life. They're not going to be welcome. God said he loved those who do right. There's no portion in religion. You can't force religion on nobody. Nobody had, but African American, we were forced to have Christianity. We were forced. We had to suffer Christianity, go be in Christianity, although the people in Christianity who were light-skinned wanted to call themselves white, wanted to hang us, kill us, mistreat us, rob us, not pay us a fair day, pay for a penalty, fair day award. They didn't do that. So they went, so I don't know why they were even tempted at me like they listened to a God when they didn't obey the common sense rule that God gave them. Don't steal, don't lie. Pay a man before, but they won't say we not a man. They had to come up with another scheme and say we were 3/5 of a human being in order to continue to treat us like they did. And make it seem they were fair to treat us like that. So they had to say we're 3/5 of a human being. They scrawled babies. They killed babies. How do you kill a baby? How do you take a baby out of the mother's arm and ship it somewhere to another state? How do you do that? What kind of people would do that? And these same people claim they love dogs. Oh, they love dogs. Dogs get ran over. They'll take that dog to the hospital and get it sold up, pay that expensive bill, and won't say nothing. You get cut. You get shot or hurt. They wouldn't spend a day of time wondering and worrying about you. So they love animals more than they do human beings. So this is what we face. That's why this image got to go. And that's why I'm working myself as hard as I can. I went to in the West End, they had a celebration for Malcolm X and for the last 2 days. And they had a big crowd, and people with boots and everything set up all around. I went through there with my flyer Sakala gave me, and moving the image and showing the billboards and things that the flyer that he made, and I passed it out to all of them, and passing out and put it on their cars and sold a few papers. But our people, they're in bad shape, and we act like ain't nothing wrong. And you got some Nation Islam brothers there selling the bean pie in their paper. But we got to, if we say we Black Lives Matter, we really don't believe that. If we believe that, we'll be working day and night just to help save the babies and women and men that are losing their lives and killing their mama, killing their babies, killing their husband. One woman, her husband killed a police, and she child said that she helped him, and she had nothing to do with what he done, and they want to put her in jail and a sister-in-law. This is how cold and evil these people are. They couldn't get the man to kill the police, but they get his family member. We ain't like that. The Bible says, an eye for an eye and two for two. If police kill your son, you're supposed to be able to go kill his son. That's an eye for an eye. But we ain't like that. We are not like that. But they are cold-blooded people. It's made some of us cold-blooded. But Allah said he would never change our condition until we change this cold heart that we have in our spirit. So that's what we're saying. Let's work on this heart. Let's work on this situation that we're in and save our children. And then get busy working to get rid of the evil out of this world. Huh? That's what God raised Prophet Muhammad up for. And we said we follow the prophet. Why ain't we behind all trying to get rid of all this evil that this world offers? And I think we will one day, inshallah, see you soon. This Block Talk Radio station is a step in the right direction for those good-hearted people that believe in Allah and believe in the last days. Believe that truth will set us free. Truth will make things better. We'll be there. And we are working hard to you know, it's a shame how they, like one young man killed all the people in Buffalo, New York. It's the same. Yeah, you know, these churches, they talk about sex abuse of children. They want to keep silent. So that's what we got to do. We got to point out. We got to expose the evil that this world has keep bringing to us. And we can see the end. We can, when the scripture says, when Prophet Muhammad said, you can tell when the end, you can see these crooked businessmen continue to be out front. Look how high the gas is and all the apartments. They don't rent the apartments and houses up for apartments. Decent person who are trying to work and not making a lot of decent money. To have a decent place to lay their head. They've been working, so we have to work too. So thank you. Allah continue to bless you on your show. And I'm going to keep listening. And I enjoyed it, Brother Muhammad. And also, Sister Cole. I'm going to get off. I'll talk to you later. I'll stay listening. I shall love Malik.
Thank you. Were you saying something, Quran?
Oh, assalamu alaikum. I was just waiting, you know, for you to finish, because I do want to say something, but I'll wait till you finish. Alhamdulillah.
No, I'm finished. I thought I heard you get ready to say something. That's why I mentioned your name. No, he finished, and I'm encouraged to the guests. Okay.
All right, alhamdulillah.
Right,
I just want to add on three things that Brother Akbar had elaborated on, and one of them when he was saying about, you know, he went to the Malcolm X. They had some kind of gathering for Malcolm X, and you know, Malcolm X what?
Malcolm X Festival, like they have it every year.
Yes, ma'am. And guess what? My granddaughter, you know, I think they had one last. It was having one last year down here, and my granddaughter said, "Grandma, why is it that, you know?" She was talking about how they picked out Malcolm X to celebrate Malcolm X Day, and then she said, "But the thing about it is, they don't have no respect for him." I said, "What do you mean?" They call him Malcolm X. Why can't they call him by his name? His name to him, Malcolm Shabazz. Why don't they say Malcolm Shabazz? Why they got to say Malcolm X? You know, that just shows that they don't have no respect. That they still not doing the proper thing that Malcolm X has stood for. And you know, and that's and I said, wow, I said that's a good question right there. You know, I was telling her that's a good question. And then also I just want to say that when he was talking about that's what he was a terrorist that killed those 13 people, but it was still 10 injured three, and then he said on his gun he had nigger. I said, well, I said to myself, I was talking to my husband, I said, well, he had the right thing on there because that's what he is, a nigger. But for them to call somebody else a nigger, what they're saying, it takes a nigger to know a nigger. And they are the ones that I said, so he had the right thing on there saying that he was a nigger. And I want to say, I only been called a nigger once in my life. Just one time in my life I was called a nigger. And I had something to tell him, you know. I just told him his great grandmother didn't say that when she was in the cornfield with them bucks.
I knew you can't say something
strong. I know. I had to say that one, boy. I said, my husband, he don't like me to talk like that, but I had to get that one out. and then I think it was there. Oh, yeah, and then also he was saying about you know, they were saying, you know, in the Bible, it said an eye for an eye, you know, a tooth for a tooth, you know, like that. But they said that in the Holy Quran, too. And the Holy Quran says that it says it don't say exactly like an eye for eye, tooth for tooth, but it says the same thing in the Holy Quran. If you come take my life, then I have to. If you come take somebody my life, then I have to come back and take someone in yours too. We said we don't turn the other cheek.
And
in the Bible, nowhere it says Jesus says turn the other cheek.
Bible, yeah.
That's right. Nowhere did that. So that just I just said that, you know, to add on to, you know, to that what he had said, alhamdulillah. I'm finished. That's the long answer.
Thank you, Master. So true. Mm-hmm. We want to reiterate that this Blog Talk Radio show is sponsored by Sarah Muhammad School.
And can I say one thing? They were saying how when he came into court, the guy that killed the ten people, that he pleaded not guilty. I said what they did is that they probably got somebody that had mental illness, because you know, so when you deal with people, when you work with people like that, you'll see they have enough. But did they have enough sense to do certain things? Because I said to myself, why waste a good soldier? So that's what they probably did, because they didn't know if he was going to come out alive or not. But the reason why he came out alive, because that was one of their soldiers. The police officer, he's supposed to have been dead right now. He's supposed to be alive. He's supposed to be dead because he had the gun in his hand when they said halt.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so he's supposed to have been dead. So, but that was one of their soldiers. That's all that was. And then all the thing they tried to do is put fear into our children.
That's what
it put fear into our children. And what we have to do, and one of the things that we have to do, we just have to, because our children said, dang, see, that do put fear in them. Because ain't nobody said nothing. Ain't nobody, you know, say this and that. But if you had did that to one of their people, they'd be coming all in your neighborhood, you know, want to take your life.
That's right.
And so when we saw... Go ahead.
No, I said that's when they would be trying to enforce that eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.
That's right. And they have that right. And see, but what it is that image. That Caucasian image, we still afraid to shoot down the Caucasian. But you're going to be dead anyway. I mean, you might as well go out like a soldier. That's why I said go out like a soldier and you will have blessings. But Allah said if you fight, just if you fight, you'll find out the majority of the people fight. They are the ones that get saved.
Yeah.
They're the one.
Yep.
When you don't fight.
That's right. We got to fight those who fight us.
That's right. And we got to teach our children that it's okay to shoot that image if that image shoots you, start wants you, kill you.
That's right.
That's right. I know. Yeah. Alhamdulillah. And we have to teach our children that. And then when you start practicing what they believe in at Christianity, and like that, an eye for eye, two for two, they don't think twice before they send them soldiers out there talking about killing all those grandmothers and uncles and cousins, you know, out there. They don't think twice about that.
That's true. They should. Yeah. Yeah, they should.
And you could take revenge.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's nothing wrong with self-preservation. That's the first. But that's the first law of nature.
Mm-mm. No, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with
that's self right. either. Because what they'll do, they'll come breaking into your house and start shooting you like it ain't nothing. And then what you going to do?
And then they're going to say it's a mistake of identity or something like that. That's wrong out. They're going to make up some kind
of
tall tale.
Do you remember that story? This brother, he fought in the war, and he got so many medals. I mean, you know, he just got a whole bunch of them, about 27 medals, you know. He got home a week later, and he was laying in his bed. The police broke into his house. They didn't shoot him one time. They didn't warn him. They shot him 27 times.
Wow.
It's another but pure, it's just only thing that came to my mind was pure jealousy. Because he had all those awards for fighting in the army.
Yeah. Yeah, like he couldn't be killed. We'll kill him right. He's back.
Jealousy and envy because people was said, dang, that's good. You know, that was something good, you know, for African American, and tell them it was unmistakable identity. You don't come in and shoot no man, just go out and just automatically start shooting him 27 times. You don't have to do that. One man laying in his bed, put your hands on your head and hit the floor. That's what you're supposed to do, alhamdulillah. But they shot him 27 times.
What happened to the police that shot him?
They promoted
him to the police.
They promoted them. They promoted them. They got promoted.
Wow.
That's what they do. You get promoted. My son said when they do something like that to African American, like in the army, like that, they even by they promote them.
Wow.
There's nothing wrong with fighting for your country. You're supposed to do that. Nothing wrong with that. But the idea that America haven't won no war, I said many times, they haven't won no war because they do not know how to treat their soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
why they haven't won not one war. I'm not talking about the airlines. If they won a war, tell me. They got even written down themselves. We haven't won no war. America haven't won no war.
Yeah, I've heard you say that several times.
They haven't even won the Civil War. They compromised. Anytime both flags is flying, that means that they compromised. That's what they did.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah. And we need to teach our children, just what they teach their children, how to defend themselves and how to shoot a firearm, because there's nothing wrong with that, because they shooting their children, they teaching their children. So, because you don't want your children to be coming down and you see them and shoot them down and they don't know what to do.
Don't know what to do. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. You don't know what to do. That's right. You're not supposed to do that. You got to start teaching our children self-defense, and you're supposed to. When we were growing up, when we were growing up, we had to, you got beat up in the neighborhood until you fight back.
That's right. You come in the house all messed up and all beat up, somebody done jumped on you, you be sitting back out there to fight again. You better beat them up. You better fight them back. Don't come back in here getting all bruised up and all messed up. I'll send you back out there again. You better fight.
But let me tell you what brother did at the mass year. All the daddy was around, you know, we had a little convention, all the daddy, you know, they were there. And so two young boys was fighting. And what they did is the daddy was like, let them fight. And they built a big circle around them sisters wouldn't come in, because we would say, no, don't let them fight. But the brothers just let them go ahead. They want to see the fight. And the daddy was like, you bet not lose. You bet not. I said, wow. And they let them fight. I said, the sister didn't want it, so they blocked us. You know, they made a circle so we couldn't come through.
If you get beat up, you come again, I'm going to beat you up again. I'm going to whip you. You let them beat you up this time.
Alhamdulillah. I'm finished. Alhamdulillah.
Okay, Quran. Let me see. We need to really pay attention to this sister here. The judge, the Honorable Judge Katanji Brown Jackson. We really need to pay attention to her, because she, I'm eager to see just how she's going to function. I mean, they took her down through there when she was on the stand trying to find out if she had been, if she was qualified to become first African-American woman U.S. Supreme Court Justice in its 233-year history. There's some 233 years, they haven't had an African-American woman in the U.S. Supreme Court justice. So now she's the first one.
Oh, wow. That sounds good.
Yeah. This is the issue April 9 through 15, 2022. Yep. Bringing humanity together in moral excellence with truth and understanding. It's the Muslim Journal that we would go behind that.
And see, the only difference that I see dealing with African Americans and dealing with a Caucasian, if you have the truth, if you bring the truth and bring the right and bring the truth of and the evidence to show that this person is innocent or the crime should be, you know, for justice, they will give you justice. But if you go there in front of a Caucasian and you show that, you know, that you're seeking for justice, and you can prove that this is supposed to be, you know, that they should have justice, they still wouldn't give it to you.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That's the only difference. That's why I said this is a little good, you know. And I'm not going to say all of them, because I just only know one Supreme White Caucasian Supreme Judge that was up there, so I can't say all of them, you know, like you never can say all of, like you say, you can't say all the Caucasians is bad, because they have Quakers. Remember, there are Quakers out there.
Alhamdulillah. No, but one thing for sure. What do you think about these children now? People have, thousands of people have died already now from the second outbreak of COVID, and now they are, they say a few
babies, children have passed too because of this injection that they're giving them. They're giving what's the name of the one? Pfizer, is it that they're giving the shot? That's the one they're giving? The Pfizer shot. 5-year-olds.
And that's too young for them because their immune system is already built up. I guess if they don't have it, then their immune system is already built up. It's just like those that are ill or sick, and I could almost understand, but not for those mm-hmm. that are healthy. And I think that, like I know I had, I think that what that is that I was talking to my daughter, and we were talking about, she said she know a good people that take shots and it's affecting them. It's affecting some of them.
Yeah.
They're becoming sick, you know, like that. It's affecting them dealing with their drives and all that kind of stuff like that. She said they're talking about that. That's what that is. That's what they're doing. And I said that's one way they might be trying to, you know, they trying so hard to sterilize us, you know. They're trying so hard. It might be another way of just sterilizing our people.
Wait, harsh way. That's killing you off so you don't have to worry about catching those venereal disease. They're killing you right off. They're not doing like the experiment giving the brother the syphilis, you know, that so they're supposed to be curing them, but instead they're giving them to them, giving them the injection.
But
they're doing this,
right?
Huh?
I remember they used to give you the shot, like the syphilis shot, so that you could build up that immune system, the antibiotics in your body, you know. And so if you get it, it's supposed to you're not supposed to get it or something like that. But once you have syphilis, they say once you have syphilis, even if you get you always will have syphilis. It just, even if you get treated, it just go into a dominant stage, but you always will have it. But the thing about syphilis, if you don't get syphilis treated, then it don't go to another stage, and you don't even know that you got it until you say, they said that's how Al Capone, they didn't treat him. And so what happened is syphilis went into his brain.
That's right, exactly. And then it goes into the bloodstream, too.
That's right. So that's how it works. It always will be there. And then they say it'll come back mm-hmm. down on you, like if you get sick or your immune system, you know, is low, then it'll come back down.
That's right. It just goes into intubation. Uh-huh.
Right.
It goes into intubation. So it's time, if you're not, like you said, when your immune system gets low, then it comes back up. It shows back up again, and then you know it. So you got to take care of yourself.
Yeah, and see, the reason why a lot of these here, like this here, you said this virus is going to another stage right now. It's in the sugar, mm-hmm. and it's in the alcohol.
Yeah.
It's in the sugar and the alcohol and that pork. Those are the three things that it's in. Like there, you eat a lot of pork and eat a lot of sugar, all this sugar food, and drink alcohol.
Uh-huh.
And that's the one reason why you're going to keep getting that virus. That's why I'm making it. You're going to keep getting it.
Okay, I see. Mm-hmm.
Because there ain't nothing real now. Even the sugar is not that sugar. It's not the real sugar cane. You know, sugar comes from sugar cane,
right.
And that's not even. I don't know what that is, but I tell my family, don't eat out the dollar stores and the general dollar stores. Don't eat out those stores because that's old food. And I'm not sure how much they. Let me tell you much. My husband, he went to the store, and one of those stores, you know, and like those Chinese store, immigrants, so-called Islamic American brother stores, he bought me some chocolate milk. He bought somebody else, but he got some chocolate milk because I love chocolate milk. And I said, damn, this chocolate milk, I said, okay, so it's not no good. You got to take it back. And then he looked at the expiration date. Okay, today is, January, March, April, May. This is May. The third thing was always back into January. He still had it on the shelf. And see, they weren't worried about it. See, two things I know that the reason why they'll do it, because if you get it, if you drink it right away, then you're going to be able to take it back. But the majority of the time, what we do, we wait till we get home or we drive.
Yeah.
Now, you don't pay just a dollar or something. So you say, if you wait for me to go back and take this here back, you know, I'm going to use about $2 or $3 for gas to go take this back. So you just end up throwing it away or something like that. But so that's how they get you like that, too.
And then
they got you so knocked out on them drugs and stuff like that, you know, you won't even taste it. You say, oh, this tastes good because the drugs that make you, they give you a whole other taste altogether.
That's expiration date. Got to emphasize it. These people are giving food away nowadays, so much food away to different communities from different places. You have to check the expiration date when you get it home so you don't bother to eat it or give it to nobody.
That's right. You're right about that. And then you got to be careful about that food. It's probably, if your dog or your cat don't eat it, then I wouldn't eat it.
Right. I'm telling you. You got some baby chickens?
Oh yeah, I got this other chicken. Yeah, I got this one, the one she got up in the soup, so she wanted to get out. And then I do have some. We did get some two small chickens. I think we got a rooster up in here.
I heard like a baby chicken. Yeah.
We have two baby chickens. Yeah, two.
Yeah.
I think one of them is a rooster. One of them got big now, so they're getting big. So one of them is a rooster.
Mm. Wow. Well, what happened to the ducks?
Oh, I told you what happened. My when I bought the ducks, all of my chickens, when I got the ducks, they just disappeared until around about this time. They didn't eat or nothing. They didn't come get their little snacks I give them in the morning. They just went. They just left. And I didn't know. And I just called and said, chick, 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 chick. It won't even come back until it's time for, until we took the duck and they came and they just hanged around. And then when they saw we took the ducks back, that's when they came back.
Wow.
But they said ducks. You know, like those ducks, they said ducks will, if they wasn't raised up with them as babies, you know, babies and the little baby ducks, then most likely they end up, a lot of times they end up killing the chickens.
Is that right?
But those chickens, the male duck do that. But they did not like them ducks. They did not like them. They left.
Because they know the scope. They know the scope. They know the ducks. Look around them ducks.
Well, it's time for them to get in. So they want these. So some of them, they lay the eggs. So this one, I think it's time for them to come in right now. They're getting ready to come in. That's what that is.
Karan.
Yes, sir.
Karan.
Yes, sir.
Him and his wife got chicken and duck. And I told him what happened with your ducks. The chicken left until y'all got rid of the duck. He said they ain't had that problem yet. I guess they raised up with, I don't know.
Right, somebody raised up and then you can have them in separate, somebody said what you do is put them in separate areas, you know, have this one caged off here and have that one caged off like that, you know.
Okay.
You know, that's what they were saying. So, but there was one person. That's what they said. Yeah, that the ducks that you, they said you have to have them like raised up together. But they said most likely the male duck will kill the chickens. You know, they'll probably kill the chickens. And then we saw on TV where a male duck was fighting a rattlesnake.
Oh my goodness, he's a mean rascal then.
Oh yeah. I guess they, you know, they're strong. They're strong. I guess.
Hmm.
But I'm thinking about if I live so long, I'm thinking about that raising some chickens so I could sell eggs.
Well, that's a good thought.
a lot of people like eggs, and I said I want to raise them just to for the eggs.
Yeah, I like the white of the egg, the protein part. I don't need the yolk for the cholesterol. That's what this which cholesterol get high on. Build up your cholesterol when you eat a lot of the yellow egg.
And they don't mess with the my cats don't be around them that much. You know, I have one cat. If he see the chickens, then he just moves out the way.
Ooh, the cat.
But we got possums around here too.
Oh yeah, you mentioned that before. I remember. Oh, that's an awful thing. But it take off the heads of the chicken.
No, because they don't really mess with the chicken like that.
Okay.
They don't really mess with the chickens. I made a pact with them. I told them that.
You said you made a pact with them. What kind of pact you made?
I told them that I feed them the leftovers we have outside if they don't mess with my chicken. But if they mess with my chicken, I said I'm gonna hunt you guys down.
So you be talking to animals, huh, Karan? That's really good.
And then when I turn the light on at night to see if they eat the food, they just look at me and just keep on smoking.
Some just look at you and just keep on getting up.
They said two animals two animals you don't play with, but they'll play with their food. That snake and a bear. They will play with you before they kill you. Snakes and a bear, They are the two right there. You don't mess with them. Just like you remember that story about how the lady she got the snake and she pet him and brought him in and stuff like that, and then you know he was in the garden and she brought him in and then he bit her and then he said, "Why you bit me? I took care of you and everything." He said, "Well, you know I was a snake when you brought me in." You know how snake you brought me.
Yeah, I remember that. Alhamdulillah. Oh, man. Wow. Well, I was trying to find some this part right here that I could read from education. Well, Akbar, you got anything else you want to say? We got to get some presenters here. We got to get somebody to come on this line here and give us something new, this new day. But it's our day. We got to get somebody to give us something new.
I'm gonna call you because I know a sister that might want to come in, and believe me, I had to tell her. Look, I said, I just don't understand how you guys could do it. I said you, my husband, as Sadia's husband, and Brother Muhammad. I just name some brother. I know. I said. They got such a long, I said, I don't know, I said, y'all got so much information, y'all be talking for hours.
Long-winded.
I said, you be talking for hours, and you got so much information in here. Then she broke down something to me. She said, you know, that's a custom. She said, that's like a custom or a tradition that African Americans have, that they're trying to take away from us. She said, that's what we used to do. Our ancestors used to do. They used to get you around, and they used to talk and teach you their verbal history.
That's true. That's very true.
And she said that a lot of us still have that. So that's just like in us to do that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well,
mm-hmm.
And I guess we all have gifts because I sure don't have that.
You do and don't know it because you can talk. You can talk around. You're right. You just don't know it.
No, I can't.
But
No, I cannot talk. I told you, I just started talking. I'm not, when I became a Nation of Islam and read Message to the Black Man, that was the first book that I read. The whole book that I read. I used to, and that's when I told my son, he stutters so much. So I told him, I said, if you read, that's going to keep you from stuttering by reading. That's why I read a lot, because it keeps me from stuttering. I used to stutter so bad that I couldn't even hold. I just started learning how to hold a conversation.
Oh!
Even when I was in L.A., I used to L.A., my sisters, I did good work, you know, the work that I be doing. I do good work, and they used to speak for me. They did. They used to speak for me. Because I couldn't really express myself because I stutter, and then I never learned to hold a conversation.
Oh, wow! This is like the child that feel they can't read good, so they sit in the back of the classroom and just never learn how to read.
But that's what happened right there. That's what happened. So but when I became into the Nation of Islam, that's why I said I never give up Islam. I said because it taught me how to read, and no, it taught me how to express myself, and then it taught me by reading. Yeah, by reading. That's why I told my son, he just said it so bad too. And then I said when you start stuttering, start back reading. You might not have to read so much. You have to read. But only thing about it is that when he be lying, he get to stuttering. That's how we know that he's lying, because he get to stuttering.
He's got to stuttering.
Hey, watch it. I ain't lying. Watch it. When people get to lying, they're going to start stuttering. So you say, and then you can tell somebody, say, remember, they were stuttering.
And then you know what I say? Yeah, amina. Amina. Yeah, they think you don't know when they're not telling the truth. They're setting themselves up.
But it made me a good listener. That means I can listen. Right. That's why people saying things, I could hear something because it made me a good listener.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And think about it, and then we didn't have speech therapy, and the people in the South, they never corrected you. It seemed like they always knew what you were talking about anyway. Even if you said something wrong, they always knew what you were talking about.
Yeah. They could sense what you're talking about, knew what you were talking about, understood, and you just couldn't make it. You just couldn't bring it out, bring the point on out to explain it to them. So that
right.
Was, that was a lot of them to let you know it's okay.
Look, Daya, just like your child, when your child was a little baby and they'd be talking, you understood what he said, but nobody else quite understood what they were saying, but you understood what they were saying.
yeah, little baby talking, and you take up the conversation. Yeah, they'd be just looking at you, cooing and laughing like, yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, that's communication. That is really something. You know, when you stop and think about people and think about different ways that Allah has blessed us, you know, it's not hard for us to understand each other. It's not. And then they say, you're Allah now. You read my mind. No, I've just been blessed. We just been blessed, women especially, been blessed with that gift of just knowing when a man not telling the truth and knowing when something's wrong.
Right. And look, and sometimes you can sense somebody, if you think about it, you can basically read what somebody was saying. But one time I was talking to somebody, and then it was really serious, telling their wife, you know, and then they said to themselves about, how do I know that you didn't do so and so? And then I answered it, and then when I heard that, I picked it up, and then I said, I never was alone. And they just because they were probably wondering, how was she thinking that? How did she know I was thinking that? I mean, sometimes you can know what people be thinking. You'd be surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can. So that, well, see, that's a person that pays attention. See, some people, is, you know, they say learn to listen and listen to learn. Some people will say that they're listening. They may hear you, but they're not listening. See, there's a difference
that's right.
in listening and hearing, you know. So that person that can tell you something, you know, before you even bring it out is that person that's been listening to you all along, what you're saying, just bringing it out. Imagine, God bless them that way. To just imagine what you were going to say next.
That's right. You're right about that. Some people, you can hear somebody talking, but you're not listening to what they're saying.
Yeah. Yeah, but you can hear them all day, but it ain't going to do no good if you can't not listen. Go to church on, if you used to go to church on Sunday and the preacher be preaching, you know, and it'd be, they come out and say it's a good sermon. Say, but what they say? Well, you know what? I don't even remember. But it was a good, everybody was shouting. Everybody, you know, you don't remember because you weren't really listening. You was hearing all the commotion and hearing, but you weren't listening. So that's why you can't tell people what the sermon was about.
The sermon, I'm going to tell you, when I got 18 years old, I got out of church looking for God. And I know I heard a lot of people said the same thing because the church, it was a, half the time the church, it was, my uncle was a preacher, and he never opened up the Bible. But he always had in his right hand, you know how they do it again. And then his wife would get up and say, I'm a soldier in the army of my Lord. And then other days she would jump up and run around the church with the tamarind and do the same thing.
Yeah, that's right.
And when they had the convention, and when they got to do it, because they had the horn, the tamarind, the drum, and then in the convention, when they got to sing, me and my friend, we used to go up in there, and we start doing the twists and the jerks and everything. But we'd be in the back doing
that. That's amazing.
What's
up, Quran? You have lit up the bowl tonight. Come do the... Yeah, bro. To the light.
I'm telling you.
Say all he did was hold the book. He never opened it.
You be preaching down, huh? Never open.
But the thing about it, he wasn't thinking nobody was looking at it. Okay, well, I'm going to go close down with a prayer.
You going
to
close down for us?
Yeah.
Okay, appreciate
it. I'm going to leave this to Raji. Bismillah, Rahman, Rahim. Al-Asaf, Insana, Lafi, Kosh. Enadina, Amenu, Salhati. Wasawal, Saul, Bil, Hak. Wasawal, Saul, Bil, Sabra.
All right. Thank you, brother. We thank Allah for this.
Sister Quran,
now we
can
have
talk.
She's talking about working.
You are
Brazil. You can talk.
I can't talk.
Yes, you can. That may be a time that you might talk.
Not yet. If I did, I got it from the best. If I did, I got it from the bed.
Look, let him stay asleep. Don't get him started.
He lit up tonight.
Oh, yes.
Well, okay, then we try to see if we can get something to eat here. I know we got in the habit during Ramadan, the eating after. I have to get off the blog